Hi friends, let's start with chapter 7 on transportation, all under the subject of distribution management. Let's have the learning objective defined, wherein we are going to in this chapter understand levels of transportation, modes of transportation, interestingly what is hub and spoke model, and how do you go about selecting the right transportation, etc. So let's have the understanding about the transportation at first. Levels of transportation is an important aspect. Transportation is always at a primary level or a secondary level. Primary level are the one which is movement of main from manufacturing to the distribution hubs are called as the primary modes. And there are various modes that is being used, rail, road, air, ship cum, waterways, etc. So that's a primary. Even pipeline is a source of transportation if you do not know, especially the petroleum products. There are undersea pipelines between the countries also. So that's a primary mode of transportation. Secondary is that final distribution leg transportation, what we talk about is the secondary transportation mode. So what is that that we need to understand about the primary mode of transportation? Primary mode of transportation, essentially let's understand the modes first briefly, because as we move forward we will be taking care of each and every modes. Road transportation is a primary mover of Indian goods. All said and done, still 90% of the road transportation is in the unorganized sector, but that's how. That's not the point that we need to be worried about in the distribution management. That's the mode which is used so frequently because that's the mode which offers point to point from the manufacturing unit to the distributor warehouse. That's the only mode that offers point to point delivery. Rail, again, large bulk transportation at speed. If you want to do it, then the rail is the best way. Bulk transportation is essentially for mines products and, you know, agricultural products, etc., where the bulk transportation comes as an issue. Air transport, distinct advantage of a speed definitely is there. Safety, security. However, it is used generally for the goods of a high value item, or you are venturing into a new market, new country as a market, etc. Also, perishable goods are the air transport is good. Flowers, air transport is considered. So that's how mode has a relation with the nature of product also. Ship cum waterways. Though India is poor in terms of waterways, separate ministry is now come up though. Ship cum waterways essentially again is for the bulk transportation. Bulk transportation of various natures, right from crude to other finished products, etc., or the consumer goods and digital goods and whatnot. They are transported all over. So ship cum waterways, long distance generally the ship is used. Internal peripheral areas the waterways are used, generally the rivers, etc., as they say. Pipeline for the bulk movement, critically for the petroleum products, but also there for the gas, etc. Gas produced at the from the crude at Bombay High or in the sea platform, transported to fertilizer plants or petroleum refineries, etc. So that's the bulk movement through pipeline. So these are the primary modes that we have briefly understood. Let's understand one important concept, which is a hub and spoke model. This concept is possible today, revolution due to technology and IT connectivity, etc., the efficient road conditions, etc. What we need to understand is the hub and spoke model. What is hub and what is spokes? Hubs are generally a large place where logistics handling is possible, large quantities handled, where market all over that needs to be catered to, other logistics support services are available. So that's like, for example, Mumbai, Delhi, Calcutta, Bengaluru, you have set up your hubs. So you have, say, one hub in Mumbai. Now from Mumbai, say, which is at Bhiwandi, you have one godown, one distribution center, so to say, in South Mumbai, one in West Mumbai, one in North Mumbai, one in eastern side of Mumbai, etc. So movement to hubs will use large container truckload or large XL trucks or large four-wheel trucks, etc., whatever. So that's where, because from a manufacturing plant to hub, moving the large bulk in a fastest mode is a better way of transportation management, as we have studied earlier. From there, when the goods has to go to your distribution center, you use spokes model. So you are able to simultaneously distribute your goods to different depots. You don't need large trucks and containers, etc. You can use other means of transportation, LCV, three-wheeler, whatever. So that's the, so here I am giving you an example. Hubs could be at this location, Mumbai, Delhi, Calcutta, Bengaluru. Spokes could be at Mumbai when you are. Then your spokes could be at Borivali, your spokes could be at Dadar, could be at Baikala, CST. So these are your distribution locations where also the goods has to be reached. But here the goods can be reached using other means of transport, not necessarily the container or the large truck that has to bring in. This has revolutionized the logistics and the distribution management across. Even in the international market, it's an hub and spoke model. So you send your goods to a hub in, say, Singapore, or you send your goods hub at Dubai. From there, it gets distributed further onwards. Of course, the scale and this thing is different. The nature of vehicle use is different. But overall, yes, it's a hub and spoke model only. So that's what one need to understand why this is important. So every time when a large company, depending on its scale of operation, country, continents to cover, etc., thinks of hub, which are the major locations where your goods should first move out after it leaves your plant and the manufacturing, and from there we how it has to go to the other markets that it is catering to. So that's the spokes. So we have understood a very important concept called hub and spoke model under the distribution management, overall under the transportation purview. So now we come to road transportation. Road transportation has a fairly numerous advantages. Point to point, we have already studied flexibility and adaptability. They are very flexible. They can give you any type of transportation combination that you want. They are adopting to the changing scenarios. Refrigerated vans have come in, better constructed delivery vans so that water pilferage and all are minimized, etc. Logistics, electronic devices installed, etc. So they are adaptable to the changing time. All weather mode of transport, this road transport can function in any weather except when there is a stoppage that has happened due to either landslide or snow, etc. Otherwise, if the roads are good, they can move out even all over. There may be snow, say like in Kashmir, but truck can still move out if the road is clear. Covers all nooks and corners of the country or the areas. So that's the door-to-door delivery is possible. Variable load can be covered. You can have the part truck load, you can have full truck load. So that's what is possible due to road transportation and the transporter's adaptability to meet his business model, etc. We need to understand that there are various other features to that. Container truckload facilitates the multimodal. We will study this again, but then the road is in picture, road transportation. Refrigerated vans are available. Various containerized loads are possible. So that's the advantage of a road transportation. Key considerations are in that why it is getting popular and why the logistics manager should be aware of, or the distribution manager should be aware of. Road transportation today has become really utilitarian this thing due to government's vision about quadrilateral quadrilateral road that they have constructed around the country, within the country, and they've created a corridor, east-west corridor, north-south corridor. These are those good road that has been built, large roads, multi-lane roads. So as a result, the truck movement is faster and better, and they don't have to pass through cities and all to reach the other end of our country. So that's one essential critical change that is really facilitated positively for the road transportation. By and large, and still unorganized, I have told you, organized fleet operators are now moving in because they realize the significance, how the market is changing, how the GST is going to impact the distribution of the goods, etc. So now then the need for that very, very sophisticated organized truckloads, etc. is going to come in. As a result, very organized fleet operators are also moving in. High-end trucks are available, multi-axle trucks are available, automobile manufacturers are producing the desired vehicle to meet the market condition. CV range includes 0.5 ton, that is small three-wheeler, to 30-40 ton multi-axle trucks are also available. Documentation is a critical, which is now simplified. So that's a big boon for the businessman. a legal aspect of ownership, Bailey and debt and this thing, lien, etc. needs to be understood. Ownership till the goods reaches the godown rests with the transporter. We need to understand the legal aspects as to how the documentation and the transportation, so on whom the insurance is, on whom the liability is, etc. So those are some of the complicated terms of transportation needs to be just understood and factored in while you develop your distribution strategy. Key considerations for going for the road transportation could be insurance and related issue needs proper understanding. There are various types of insurance available. Responsibility of insurance is based on what mode of transportation is taken, free on board or you know CIF cost in insurance and freight included, etc. So those are those rates that the transporter offer. It has a inbuilt insurance or it has no insurance covered in it. So you need to really understand those aspects very well. Risk linked to the transportation's need understanding. You have to understand your delivery need vis-a-vis the transportations and transporters liability, etc. So accordingly you bridge a gap by proper agreement for proper understanding the rate fixation, etc. Besides the transportation cost, there are other associated costs which has come in like a demurrage. You are supposed to unload the goods within a given fixed time. If you do not, due to various constraints at your end, then transporter is allowed to charge you additional cost, which is known as a demurrage. Recoverable charges, there are certain expenses like toll, etc. As per actuals, it may be that way. Then there are all recoverable charges. So you need to be aware about those aspects as well. Selection of a transporter needs a very careful consideration. Goodwill of the transportation is always number one. The nature of fleet that he has. Then, of course, his damage control initiatives. The confidence in timeliness of delivery, etc. Quality of transporters, drivers and all matters. So that's the selection part of your selecting a particular XYZ transporter as your official transporter. Overall service level agreement between two of you, clear understanding needs to be established in terms of expectation, liability, legal constraints, legal matter, how will it be handled, etc. So that they call a service level agreement. And what kind of transport, what it includes, excludes, what are the services expected by the transporter, etc. So that's what you clarify by entering into what you call a SLA, service level agreement. So we have understood, friends, what is road transport. Now let's understand rail transport. Again, good for bulk movement, etc. We have briefly touched upon. India has perhaps the world's largest rail network. Smallest part of the town or tehsil is connected. Good for destination to destination connectivity, not a factory or door to door, but destination to destination connectivity. Indian rail infrastructure offers that. Earlier there used to be limitation due to broad gauge, metro gauge, narrow gauge, etc. Now that difference has been removed. Metro gauge is practically been replaced by all broad gauge. There are very few areas. Darjeeling train, toy train is a narrow gauge, or Matheran is a narrow gauge, but that is not used for transportation as such necessarily. So seamless universalization has also helped popularization of the rail transportation. Overcomes the state wise complexity. Now it is of course minimal even in the road, but earlier days when the rail was preferred because you overcome movement of goods that used to face a problem from one state to the other state, because rail document is one document from destination to the delivery point, and you may bypass number of states, but that is taken care of. Speed of movement being high, railway move very fast, all weather condition, again that's a all weather mode of transportation. They have developed different rate structure to meet the business requirement. It could be on the class of goods, so what kind of goods that you carry, the weight of the goods, wagon load, you want to carry a full wagon, so wagons load can be then. Train load, you want to carry the full train of wagons, filled with your goods, so even that is possible. So that kind of rate structure is also offered. Cargo load, depending on the weight, volume, etc., cargo load is also given. So they have also adapted to the market condition and various rate structures are available to you. Of course, one need to really understand it is still a government run mode. So bureaucratic hassles are there, which is also, they are also trying to simplify infrastructure, which is loading, unloading, the storage, etc., are not still up to the international mark. However, long distance corridors are developed. Long distance corridors, when you say rail cargo rake movement, are ensured to also pass without being stopped. Earlier days, cargo cargo railroad used to get a second priority over passenger trains. Now the large rail corridors, as they say, which has been aligned in such a way, along with the passenger train movement in such a way, that even this cargo rail movement is without being stopped. So entire that arrangement of signaling, coinciding the passenger train movement, etc., has been critically looked at. So the goods train which leave from one destination reaches the other destination without being stopped unwarrantedly en route. Uses the same track line, thus gets last priority. However, ultimately passenger train will always get a priority over the outstation train. In many foreign countries, there is a separate freight rail corridors. So in a separate line for the freight loads. So they do not come in between the passenger lines. However, in India, it is still that same passenger track is used for the cargo movement also. So these issues at times hamper. Less of documentation hassles when it comes to the railway goods movement. Offers container service, again freight forwarding is also available. Ro-Ro service, we will see as we go ahead. Roll on, roll off, roll out kind of a service. So entire truck is rolled onto your railway platform and it is downloaded, and the entire truck can also get down when it reaches a destination, etc. And they have been parked on a platform, flat platform that railway offers you. So that is a Ro-Ro service, as they say. Then various such this thing makes it a very viable transportation to look at. One of the case study I'll show you, Amazon has started using Indian Railway local train service to ship the goods. We'll study this, I think, in opportune time. Air transport, very advantageous when the speed is of a critical nature. You want to capture, create a new market without really creating a setup there. Setup of office, manpower, etc., again is his own cost. So instead, maybe the air transport will offset your this thing, your good directly reaches your agent, and then they take over the distribution within. Scaling a new height is possible, where customers opening storage location, as I told you, with high investment versus you trade off with the higher freight rate of the air cargo. It helps in meeting the seasonal spot in demand. Many times seasonal spot needs additional transportation support. You may not have them. You may require a frequent feeding also, which may not be possible with the truck and the road and the rail transport. In that case, the air transport will help. Secure, very reliable, regular services are available, so you can plan your entire dispatch properly, which is again not necessarily a case with the railway transport. And here, plane movement timings are frozen. In that cargo area only, your goods is going to get loaded. So you can plan as exactly. You also know the arrival time at the destinations, and then onward journey, etc., can be planned well. Provides trade-off between the transportation and warehousing. So as I told you, you have a choice to set up your warehouse at that location, or you offset that by paying higher for the air freights. So that's a trade-off that one need to really look at. Here I am trying to explain you through a graph. As you see, the more the tonnage that you move, there are certain fixed costs that will remain. Here there is a cost. Okay, so fixed costs will remain fixed, wherein it's a costlier mode, and therefore it will be slightly higher than the normal other fixed cost. Fixed cheaper mode, so that's a cheaper mode this thing, versus you have a variable cheaper mode cost available. That will go up as you move more tonnage. Your variable cost will go up, and this overall makes the variable costlier mode. So I would like to represent this air transportation vis-a-vis the other modes of transportation. How do you take right decision? Air transport, the fixed cost, earlier cost that you pay to move, generally large cargo can be carried by the air transport. So the fixed cost could be on a lower side. However, the fixed cost for the other mode of transport, rail or road, will be generally on a higher side vis-a-vis the what you pay for the air transport. But what happens in the air transport, because of a variable cost that you pay per unit, that is higher because they charge you on weight, volume, ratios, etc. So the variable cost is higher. That is shown to you that more you move, the variable cost will go up. Look at then the road and rail transport, where the fixed cost initially could be higher. However, the movement cost, there is a variable charge per unit or the per turn that moved, will be generally lower than what is happening in the air transport. So what happens at one particular point that you see, below that if your movement is there, if your tonnage moved etc. are less than that, you are able to, it is safe to move from the air transport. However, if it goes above that, then one need to take a conscious call of using other mode of transportation. So this helps you in even deciding where upcountry market that you want to serve, etc. So this is that cost benefit analysis that you can derive for yourself. Rates differ for domestic and international market, some of the points that we need to know about air transport. However, international rates are determined by IATA, as they say, that's an international body. India is a member to that, and therefore that entire tariff structure and all are being worked out by them to give the boost to the cargo movement, so that the aeroplanes capacity maximization happens, the revenue to the aircraft carrier people also increase, etc. There are general cargo rate, class rates, specified commodity rates, freight, all kind rates, etc. So they have also adopted to the changing market condition, and they are offering various kinds of package so that the different industry can avail the benefit using the right package for them. We come to what we understand as a sea transportation, which is transportation using ships and all across continents, as they say. This can take your goods across the continent. Governed by this linear conference protocol, there is a Geneva, or there is a central, all entire world has unified itself to sign what you call the linear conference protocol. This is binding on all the countries, all the sea route operators, etc. All other intermediaries who are governed by, you know, sea transportation, etc. Additional ways that you can additional ways by which you can move this use the sea transport is a voyage charter. Yani complete voyages for you, or number of voyages, or periodicity for each voyage for you, etc. is predetermined and signed off. Yani time charter, you hire a entire container ship, etc. for a specific time, or demise charter, as they say, ke bhai, this is like as the journey ends, your contract ends, etc. So this is how you carry out your business to suit, you choose a package to suit your business need. Sea transportation, there are various considerations. I am not, you know, going to explain you, but it is in front of you. Many of them are self-explanatory. It has, of course, numerous other distinct heads like port facility, port charges, which is the port applies to, because the containers or the cranes that they have provided to unload the container from the ship to the ground, from there to the warehouse, etc. So there are various other such costs which are coming in, but in on all you have to see what is the total transportation cost that will work out for you. Vis-a-vis air transport, you can consider that as an alternative route, yeah, and then do your trade-off and decision making. Other aspects that one need to really understand is there are people like freight brokers. Yani, they are the one, if you actually having a part loads going, then you can rope in the freight brokers. He is the one who is responsible to collect freights from different parties and ensure that this is containerized and move to that same country where it is scheduled to be. So that's what the role that they play. Clearing and forwarding agent, again, that's an important party we have earlier also studied. Ownership of the goods lies still with the organization. They facilitate the movement of goods to the market. Of course, here they will also facilitate the shipping containerization, etc., ship-based movement. They may take the service of the freight brokers to ensure that which liner and which date, etc., the goods has to go, etc. So that's what the clearing and forwarding agents do for you. Freight rate, which is inclusion and exclusion, needs to be known beforehand. So what kind of freight rate that you have signed off, you need to know very well in advance. Bill of lading is a document which establishes your credit worthiness, and it's a very important document which has to change hands from the supplier, then it rests with the shipping company. When they release the goods, they hand over to the transporter again. Transporter finally hands over to the final consumers, etc. Bill of lading is a very legal document in itself and needs to be understood. Overall, if I have to tell you, if the final recipient of the goods refuses to pay, then whose liability it is, so that bank takes the liability or the ownership to pay you back, etc. But that's all with terms and condition, of course. Letter of credit, again, that's a document which is between the two parties and where the credit understanding has been arrived at, and which is also a legal document in nature. Therefore, preparation of this is really science and art both. But it's a very critical document when it comes to sea transportation. Pipeline, again, an important mode of transportation. I think I have spoken enough. Gas, petroleum products, etc., liquid products, etc., can be transported using pipelines. Pipelines are even under the sea, connecting different continents, etc. So, advantage is like reliable, continuous flow, all weather. That's advantage of it. Low energy consumption. You don't really require a lot of energy because many a time gravity will pull the product. Yani at certain locations only to lift on the height, etc. You will require pumping and those kind of a thing. Therefore, overall the cost of operation is very low. You don't really require manning stations and all if they have been put in properly. So that's what is the advantage of a pipeline as a system. No continuous maintenance is needed. Pressure on space is comparatively less because they are generally pipelines are put into rough terrains, yani terrains not used by human for human habitats, etc. Easier to run through different terrains, and construction is not so greatly difficult. Transit losses are minimal unless there is a deliberate sabotage. So otherwise the transit losses are minimal because there is no human intervention possible. However, the capital cost needed is the most highest. Therefore, you don't see pipeline transportation used by any Tom, Dick and Harry. In fact, pipeline transportation as a concept, even World Banks and to that level, the financing bodies come forward to support. So, you can understand the intensity of the capital required to create any pipeline-based transportation setup. Other transportation modes are ropeways, which is in hilly terrains, etc. You use a ropeways, which is through that two ends are connected with the tower and the rope, and then there is a commuting vehicle, which will carry the goods mechanically. It moves on the rope on a height as well as it, when it comes down. It helps you to reduce the distance. Otherwise, heights can be used even by trucks. But trucks has to go round and round to reach at the top of it. While here, in a shortest time, from the base to the top, you can move the goods, etc. Per kilometer cost of setting this ropeway is even less than the road transportation. But still India lags behind in terms of a ropeway transportation because construction technology difficulty involved, etc. is a challenge when it comes to ropeway setup. New government emphasize on infrastructure building may see more ropeways coming on in India that will change the logistics way of working. Inland waterways, which is use of the rivers and all for movement of the goods. India being a poor in this area, separate ministries now come in and India is exploiting various ways of doing a inland waterways use for the transportation of the goods. One that I came across is currently the Dahej to Bhavnagar is an inland waterway wherein large container ship operates both passengers, vehicles and even goods are carried. Dahej is somewhere near Surat and then Bhavnagar is on the other end. If you go by rail, as I understand, it takes almost like Mumbai to Bhavnagar is 14 to 18 hours, while Dahej, if you go, so Dahej is 3 hours from Mumbai and then another 1 hour you jump into Bhavnagar. So 4 to 6 hours maximum you touch base at Bhavnagar. So that's a use of inland waterways. We are talking about Mumbai Alibag. Or same way, there are many such inland waterways are going to come up once government formalizes the overall right inland waterways where most of the part of the year the water should be there, and right vessels and worthiness of that vessels for the inland waterways, etc., are all decided, and then actual costs and all then being factored out so that the companies can start using them to their advantage. Very important is to understand this multimodal transportation. That's where I want to give more emphasis upon. It's a unique combination mode of transportation. Multimodal transportation is a goods under one single contract, which moves from one end to the final journey destination. However, in the interim, it uses different modes of transportation, however, under the single documentation. So that's the multimodal transportation. It may move on a container, then container may move on to the ship. Ship on the other end may disembark the container, then the road is used to take it to the final destination, etc. In overall other way of working, you can visualize, you will have to have a documentation for all stages. You will have to identify the transporter, you will have to negotiate with him, work with him, fix the liability, etc., which is not the case if you adopt to a multimodal this thing. Only one contractor, full movement is under him. He uses different modes of transportation, but under the single documentation. A carrier is liable for the entire carriage, even though it is performed by the several different transporters and different transport modes are used for that. The carrier responsible for the entire carriage referred to as the multimodal transporter. So, he is known as a multimodal transporter. There is a convention which has set this in motion. This has changed the way logistics operates across the world. It's a carriage of goods by two or more modes of transport under one contract. So, that's a short definition, you can say. It's a contract with one responsible contractor having a single document for its movement acceptable across different states, countries and continents, so to say. And it uses more than one mode of transportation to reach the goods to the other end of the chain. It has a obviously, being a overall contract, damage and losses for you as a supplier is rest with that one operator. But behind, the entire body has worked out whom to place responsible for damage at what part of the journey, etc. So that has been clearly laid down as an international convention, and that helps everyone. So everyone tends to protect their interest very well. So that's what the damage and prevention, and you know that responsibilities are also legally fixed by this body, who regular interval modifies the multimodal transportation conventions across the world. And so, advantage of MMT, faster transit by minimizing the time that you lose otherwise coordinating for the different loose transportation you need to reach your final goods to the final consumer. Then reduce burden of formalities and different documentation, only one documentation irrespective of modes of transportation when used by your carrier. Save cost and a cost of transportation, minimal damage, all put together you will benefit a lot. That's what is the meaning is. Minimize cost of exports. Multimodal transportation, because of various nature of it, and the entire the concept is to really move bulk, bypassing the intricacies of documentation and other complications. You overall tend to save on various ways, and that saving, if you translate into export market, it brings you a competitiveness in the export market, and you tend to be competitive with others. I have tried explaining you various different models under MMT that has been practiced today, are been there. Combined container transport, as you can see in this, the container load is moving, then it is put onto the ship. Ship, when it reaches the other end, again road transportation takes care of your container and ships the goods to your final consumers. Second is the rolling road forward of trailers, rolling road forwarding of trailers. Here your goods move in the truck, container truck. Container truck is mounted on a rail rack, and a rail rack either you have with the truck or without the truck option available. With the truck means truck on the other end will go and start again onward journey. Without truck means at the other end, other transporter will take charge of this container, attach his truck to the trailer, and then the cargo moves on. So that is a rolling roll forwarding of trailers. Roll on, roll off. And one need to really understand is the same truck gets mounted on the ship, and then at the other destination it will get down and start the journey. Generally, shipping liners offer this roll on, roll off services. However, it is also being offered by railway. So railways also offer you the roll on roll off service, where say at somewhere in Trivandrum your goods are manufactured, which has to go to say Kashmir, then in that case from Trivandrum to Cochin you bring in through a truckload. That entire truck will get onto the railway platform and railway rack platform. It will move up to Jammu using the railway mode. At Jammu, the same truck will come down and go to the Srinagar and deliver your goods. So that's a roll-on, roll-off mechanism. Less transportation, more to do with the barge kind of this thing, where multiple containers are loaded on a barge. Useful for an inland and seaway combination. So on an inland this thing, there is a large floatable barge that you have on which the containers are loaded. They move up to a seaport, where on seaport the entire barge is loaded into the ship, and that barge is down, you know, downloaded on the other end of the port when it reaches the ship, that destination. And then again from there the barge moves using the inland waterways and to your final destination. There it may be then taken off on the truck or other modes of transportation to reach the final destination. So that's a, we have tried understanding different modes under multimodal transportation. So friends, with this up to now we have completed what we call various modes of transportation. So that gives you the idea about what mode, their advantages, their limitations. Especially my focus of interest was MMT, multimodal transportation. Having done that, in the new age, what is happening in transportation? That is what we are trying to factor in, for which we need to understand vehicle tracking system. Vehicle tracking system is a new age tool available to fleet operators, people transporting the goods, transport operators, etc., companies moving bulk of its car, transport using their own trucks, etc. So it's a tool or an approach or an entire technology support available that helps you to know where your vehicle is at a given point of time on a real time basis. So I am defining what is vehicle tracking system. It's a system or a setup that enables you to track where your vehicle is at any given point of time on a real time basis. It has something to do, something which is fixed inside a vehicle, something which is available with you at your end, and something which is connecting the two. So there is something which is at intermediary level, which is connecting the two, which could be satellite, which could be Wi-Fi, whatever. So that's a interlinking platform. Truck device generates a signal, truck or rail device or wherever you can say, generates a signal. This signal is picked up by the intermediary platform. Generally, it is a GPS tracking satellite, as they say. They reflect on you, on your setup, on a map where your truck is at that particular point of time. And it really shows you the live location. If your truck is moving, you will see your dot moving on that map. If your truck is stationary, you will notice it is stationary. And with the geotags and axis and, you know, this thing, you are able to know exactly where it is. So those are the advantage of a vehicle tracking system. That is a defined as a vehicle tracking system. Typical architecture, you have a GPS tracking, which is a generally a signal releases signal which is enables the GPS to track you on a map. So this map tracking enables you to reflect on at your side where your truck is. So that's a GPS tracking is an important aspect of architecture. GPS tracking server. So there is a server which receives the data emanated from the GPS tracking unit, captured by the platform and relayed to you. So that relayed data is captured on the GPS tracking server. You are able to retrieve this data from the server. So you are able to see the data using the stored information on the server. User interface. User interface is at both the ends, the truck or the rail movement or wherever that vehicle or the container is moving. As well as user interfaces in your office, which is using this GPS tracking and GPS tracking server architecture, it tracks where your mobility is. So it tracks your location using the map as a platform. So that's the overall architecture of a vehicle tracking system. What kind of nature of tracking that is possible using this? Active tracking and a passive tracking. Active tracking is a live tracking. You have a real-time update about vehicle movement. So that's an active tracking. Passive tracking is data is captured on real-time relayed, but it is not available to you in real time. Data is captured, relayed, but stored in a way that when your vehicle reaches your destination, you have to pull out the required instrument or something, plug into your system, and then you can read the data. So here it is not relaying the real time this thing, it is only capturing the data in real time. There is no relay happening. When you reach the destination, the specific device or the chip or whatever is moved, put into the system, system will read the data. It will still show you how much time from where it stopped, etc. So all those data are then available to you as a live data, but it is available to you only when the truck reaches the destination point and you are able to move the instrument out and attach to your server to read the data. So that's a passive tracking of a vehicle tracking system data. Common uses, worldwide, this thing has changed the way logistics or the distribution has to function. Fleet management has become so powerful tool for them. Fleet people are able to track the movement, drivers' unscheduled stops. As a result, the time taken to reach a specific destination has reduced. This has led to more same truck being rolled again and again more time in a month. So overall, the turnaround time of the truck has improved. So that's your fleet turnover rate has improved over a period of specific time, which gives you more revenue. Urban transport system, today now even, for example, my Mumbai friends, BST has also now launched an app, and BST has also declared that you will be able to see the buses in real time on the map. So you come to know that at your step, when it is going to come, etc. All this is possible due to vehicle tracking system being implemented by them, and it is feed into the app that they have developed, which app if you have on your mobile, you can check that out. If somebody has told you that I have boarded this truck, you can see that whether he is reaching at your place in what time, etc. So overall, urban transportation, London, bus services or some other foreign countries, they use this vehicle tracking system effectively to customer service. And then from there are certain revenue streams, certain non-revenue streams that they have created. Unconventional uses. And more is going to happen on unconventional front. Route optimization. People have used the map and that vehicle tracking technology to optimize the route. Which route takes more time, where's stoppage, and that data is collected to get you the idea which route you should follow. Hub and spoke maximization. So where the hub is, how much spoke feed is, the time hub utilization, vehicle freight utilization, etc. From hub to various spokes can be tracked well. And accordingly, you can decide your hub and spoke strategies, etc. Safety in the rented cars. So safety in rented cars is like all these Ola, Ubers, etc. that you move about. They have a feature that you relay your this thing to your friend or a relative, and they can track your vehicle in real time. So that's a safety in rented car, or say like 5-star hotels and all, where the people use their cars, for being serviced. So the guest safety, then they follow this app-based vehicle tracking system so that they know that safety of their guest is assured. Temperature monitoring, etc. So vehicle tracking system devices do not just track the vehicle movement. Now with the advanced technology, they can also do certain functions. You can communicate, you can live stream your video footage. Vis-a-vis, there is a possibility that refrigerated container can be temperature monitored. So the moment temperature falls below this thing, the signal will be relayed and the refrigerator will get on. You will also get a symptom based signal at your end, so you can connect with the driver and guide him, etc., what to do, etc. So those are the things that is possible. Ride billing. Nowadays, billing is a revenue stream. Earlier, fixed rate used to be there. Fixed volume weight rate has come in. Now, clients are also asking, why should I pay you for the distance not traveled by me, or why should I pay you for this part of the journey, etc. So all this vehicle tracking and those kind of things is now making it possible for the transporter to tell the client that we are doing a ride billing. So if the agreed rate is per kilometer or something, per kilometer, per turn, etc., vehicle tracking data is a supporting, and based on which the billing takes place. So these are some of the uncommon uses and unconventional uses, as I say, that we have studied about vehicle tracking. So friends, we have understood what is transportation, various modes of transportation, and we have understood one technology trend, which is a new age, which is a vehicle tracking system, and how it is revolutionizing the transportation management across the world. Thank you.